name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Gospel reading this morning contains those instructions from Jesus to be both salt and light. We were thinking about light last week, and so today let's have a look at "You are the salt of the earth." It's a phrase that has passed into the everyday language to mean someone who is good, reliable, trustworthy. Jesus, of course, was addressing his disciples, and as we are the disciples of today, then it follows that we too must be salt of the earth. This salt was obtained, as indeed it still is, from the Dead Sea, mainly by natural evaporation of the water. The water of the Dead Sea apparently contains 5 times more salt than most seawater. And so it was therefore a common and plentiful substance with a whole variety of uses. The first use which Jesus refers to in Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 is that salt is what we now call a flavour enhancer, which is what I was talking to the young people about. When potato crisps, potato chips as some of you call them, were first invented over 100 years ago, they didn't sell well because they were pretty tasteless. And so, until someone had the idea of putting a tiny bit of salt in a twist of blue paper. Anyone remember those? Yeah. Which was right at the bottom of the bag usually. And then the rest is history. That's what disciples need to do, to provide that extra bit of zing, that to be examples of spice and flavour and joy that the gospel brings. And salt was and still is used to stop things going bad. It is used in those foods that I produced earlier on to preserve them. And of course, throughout history, it's been used to preserve things like meat and fish and so on, so that people could store food and then have something to eat when fresh food is scarce. As I have said in this month's magazine, we need to preserve the key features of our Christian heritage, like the prayers of the church, hymns, liturgical structures, not as fossilized remains, but as a store of spiritual sustenance that we can feed on when our own resources are running low for whatever reason. This is one of the things that the church is able to offer, especially at times of national disaster or celebration. We have the structures and the resources that people can make use of, and we can do it in a way that nothing else can. And it's not just meat and vegetables that salt keeps from going bad. People too. I remember once when we were on holiday and we were visiting one of our sons who was working in Trinidad at the time. And someone cut their foot on the beach. Only a small cut, but of course in hot countries there is always a risk that it will turn septic. Fortunately, we had one of those little packets of salt that you get with your meal on the plane. And so we rubbed it into the wound. Simple, but it worked. Disciples today are also called to prevent things from going bad by offering care and support, whether individually, to our neighbours near at hand, people we know, or indeed through the church, in our support for the work of mission and relief agencies at home and abroad. And we can also prevent things from going bad by modelling our words and actions on the gospel. Not in a holier-than-thou, self-righteous kind of way, but in response to Jesus' call to let your light shine before others. Restraint, not bearing grudges, being ready to forgive. All these sorts of things that Paul sums up in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, as Jesus Christ and him crucified. If we can model our lives on that, then we can bring salt into situations and relationships that would otherwise turn very bad and nasty. I noticed when I said how we had used this very simple remedy of rubbing salt into the cup, some of you winced. Because yes, to have salt in a wound is an uncomfortable experience. I'm told, for instance, that if you swim in the Dead Sea, you will soon notice every cut and scratch on your body. If disciples are to be the salt of the earth, then they must be an irritant sometimes as well. Look at today's reading from the prophet Isaiah. In highlighting the plight of the poor and needy, he is not, as it were, appealing for donations to Christian Aid or Partner Zion, we can give our money and forget about it. That's not what he's saying. He is focusing on the causes of poverty. And I think it was Archbishop Romero of Salvador who said, "When I feed the hungry, they call me a saint. When I ask why they are hungry, they call me a troublemaker." The figure of the turbulent priest has a long and honourable history. Today, for instance, the Mothers' Union, the Anglican women's organisation worldwide, it lobbies governments about family issues and the place of women in society. And the Church of England, with its large portfolio of investments, is able to ask awkward questions at shareholders' meetings. Currently, it is threatening to withdraw its investment from BP, the oil firm, unless it improves its record on safety and the environment. Adding flavour, preserving resources for times of scarcity, healing wounds, being an irritant and getting under people's skin. Salt, such an ordinary, everyday thing, but it can do a lot of things. And so can disciples. Amen.